You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Garrett Wilson. Wow! What a catch! Touchdown, Jets! That kid's amazing. Gibson on the return. Near side. I don't see any flags. Gibson inside the 30. Hits the Jets. And he's going to go! Jets win it! Touchdown, rookie Xavier Gibson. Game over.
Allen has time. Intercepted. Sauce Gardner's got it, Allen. Tripped up. He could not get past Jermaine Johnson. Oh, look at the speed of Brees Hall. He's done it again. Brees Lightning. 62 yards for the touchdown.
And he's sacked again by Quinnen Williams. What a beast. Number 95 for the Jets.
Listen. Thank you.
This is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And Tyron Smith is one of the newest additions to the New York Jets. And everybody is excited about the possibility of him coming in and helping elevate the Jets' offensive line, which was terrible last year. Tyron Smith, five-time All-Pro, one of the best left tackles of all time. He is 33 years old. He has had durability issues, but I wanted to really dive in deep beyond just the film on him and talk to somebody who's covered him the whole time that he's been a member of the Dallas Cowboys. So our friend Jess Haney is back from bloggingtheboys.com to discuss it with us. Jess, thanks so much for coming back on the show, brother.
Oh, no problem. Glad to be here. I wish it wasn't to talk about the departure of a beloved Cowboys player, but glad to offer whatever insights I can.
I want to talk first about Tyron Smith winding up on the Dallas Cowboys in the first place. People may not remember, but Tyron Smith was one of the very best prospects coming out of high school in California. He was a five-star recruit, described as an amazing right tackle by Rivals.com, and ranked as the sixth best offensive tackle prospect in the entire country. Some even had him listed as the number one overall tackle prospect. He goes to USC, and he's there from 2008 to 2010 as a freshman. He was a backup, appeared in 10 games, though, but as a sophomore, that's where he really got going. Started 12 games at right tackle, earned all Pac-10 honorable mention, and was even better as a junior, all Pac-10. Enters the draft, gets picked in the 2011 draft by the Cowboys at number 9 overall. So that's where we're going to start, Jess. When Tyron Smith was drafted out of USC, what were your initial thoughts about the selection?
At the time, you know, 2011 was Jason Garrett's first full season as the Cowboys head coach. He had taken over as the interim coach in 2010 from Wade Phillips. So it was a big shift. It was the first time that the Cowboys had drafted an offensive lineman in the first round during Jerry Jones' entire ownership of the team. So it kind of spoke to a philosophical shift going to Jason Garrett, who was more of an old school minded kind of coach. It just felt like this is really the start of a new era, perhaps in Dallas. And we saw that because it was not just Tyron Smith in 2011, but then Travis Frederick at center, Zach Martin at guard within the next couple of years. So he was the beginning. Tyron Smith really was the first player of what I would consider a new era of Cowboys football. And at the time that he was taken, there was a lot of criticism that he was too raw of a prospect to be the ninth overall pick, that he's not going to help you immediately. And boy, did that prove to be silly, because like you said, he's been an all-timer.
As you alluded to, a lot of people did think he was raw. Part of that is because he was so young. Like I said, he came out after his junior season, and he was only 20 years old, but he immediately earned the starting job at right tackle from the first day of OTAs. Doug Free took over at left tackle at that point, and then the Cowboys sort of clean house. They got rid of a lot of veteran offensive linemen, Jess. Mark Colombo, who Giants fans may remember from his strange stint with the Giants, where rumor has it he might have gotten into a fist fight with then head coach Joe Judge. Leonard Davis, who I was a big fan of because he went to the University of Texas. Andre Girard, Montre Holland, all gone during the preseason. So Smith has to step up, and he did. He started every single game and earned a lot of praise for his play. People thought he might move to left tackle the following year. We'll get to that. But he earned all NFL rookie status his first season in the league. So he really exceeded any reasonable expectations for a player that everyone thought was pretty raw.
Yeah, I mean, he really did hit the ground running. And he probably would have started even if the Cowboys weren't in sort of a rebuild mode. But that definitely helped make it easier for him with the exit of all those veterans, like you said. But either way, he would have easily been one of the five best offensive linemen on the team at that point, even if all those guys had stayed. Because Colombo, Davis, they were all on their last legs. Tyron he's just been this gold standard kind of guy the moment we got him. And it really does go to show you how good he's been, that we're talking about 2011. It is 2024, and he's only now leaving the team, despite some of the missed games and injury issues and things that we'll get into a little more. But he's one of the best first round picks we've ever had.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
2012 comes along, and as everybody thought could happen, Tyron Smith moves to left tackle. He flips with Doug Free. There was a notable incident that year where he got fined $15,000 for a touchdown-saving horse collar tackle during the season opener against the Giants. He started 15 games that year and played really, really well. He wasn't a Pro Bowler or an All-Pro yet, but it was his first year at left tackle. And remember, he played right tackle at USC, so the transition here seemed kind of flawless.
Yeah, it was such a smooth move. And when you consider his athleticism, I mean, he always felt like a left tackle, really. I mean, he fit that athletic profile of a prototype left tackle. From then to this day. So I think that it was just a matter of wanting him to work out some of the technique things at right tackle, where it's a little bit less of a liability. It's not, you know, Tony Romo was right-handed. So, you know, we didn't put him on Romo's blind side at that point as a rookie, but there was just no denying the talent from that point forward.
2013 comes along, and this is where he really starts to become an elite offensive tackle. Only one holding penalty all year, only allows one sack, plays the entire year, named to the Pro Bowl, and ranks 78th by his fellow players on the NFL's top 100 players of 2014. And Jess, that was good enough to get the Cowboys to realize they needed to lock this guy down. And Ross Tucker, who of course is a well-known offensive line analyst, former offensive lineman himself, had this to say about Tyron Smith after 2013. Quote, "If you went into a computer lab and tried to create the perfect prototype tackle, it would be Tyron Smith. He does things to guys, toys with them, humbles them, that you honestly shouldn't be able to do to people that play in the NFL. And the Cowboys understood that this is a player that they had to lock down and make one of the centerpieces of their offense for years to come. So they signed him to an 8-year, $109 million contract extension that July, making him the highest paid offensive lineman in the league at the time, and also the first ever member of the Dallas Cowboys to get a contract that exceeded $100 million. At the time, he was widely considered one of the three best offensive tackles in the league, and he became the first offensive lineman in 10 years to be named Offensive Player of the Week for a performance against the Seahawks that year. Started all 16 games for the Cowboys, which had the second best rushing offense. He helped DeMarco Murray become the league leader in rushing. He was ranked 36th that year by his fellow players on the NFL's top 100. Was a Pro Bowler and a first-team All-Pro. So 2013, Jess, was the year where everybody started to see just how good this guy could be. And 2014 was the year that he got paid and really rewarded the faith of Jerry Jones and everybody in the Cowboys organization, because he helped DeMarco Murray become arguably the best running back in the league that year. He was tremendous in pass protection, and everybody saw how great he was. 36th overall in the entire league, voted by his peers, and of course a Pro Bowler and a first-team All-Pro. At this point, you could have made the case he was the best offensive tackle in the league.
I don't think there would be much of a case against that at that year. And yeah, that was the year that it all sort of came together, what I was talking about before with Smith, Frederick, Martin, that offensive line gelling together. It made DeMarco Murray a star. I think that was the single season rushing record for the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. He either threatened it or he broke. I think he broke it. And I mean, it was just, 2014 was probably the closest the Cowboys have been to a Super Bowl contender in the last decade. And that was the year, of course, that everything ended with the Dez Bryant, was it a catch, was it not a catch, fiasco in Green Bay. So, but that was probably the peak year for Tyron as a player.
2015 comes along and DeMarco Murray signs a contract with the Philadelphia Eagles. Chip Kelly really wanted him, thought he'd be a good fit for his system. So the Cowboys have to go back to square one at running back. They go and get Darren McFadden, who years earlier had been a top 10 pick in the draft for the Raiders. He'd been underwhelming, hadn't lived up to expectations, but all it took was to run behind Tyron Smith, and that started to change. Darren McFadden, out of nowhere in 2015, becomes the NFL's fourth leading rusher. Tyron Smith also does a great job in pass protection again, as you would expect. He's selected to his third Pro Bowl, and he's ranked 42nd by his fellow players as far as best in the NFL in the top 100 that year. Maybe not quite as good as 2014, but I got to tell you, Jess, he was great in pass protection. And the thing that stands out to me is DeMarco Murray looked all world with Tyron Smith in 2014, wasn't quite as good in 2015 with the Eagles. Darren McFadden, who had been considered a disappointment, comes to the Cowboys and in 2015 is the fourth leading rusher in the league. Tyron Smith was just an absolute bulldozer at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. And you know, the big thing in 2015, you know, it wasn't a big year for the Cowboys overall, because it was a year that Tony Romo missed a ton of games due to injury. But yeah, I mean, Darren McFadden, that was just shocking. I mean, how productive he was in Dallas, and it was on the strength of that offensive line that and you know, it's sad because 2015 probably was another opportunity for Dallas to do something had Romo stayed healthy. And then of course you go from there, and this is that point in the, like, what was the old VH1 Behind the Music show where it's like, and then everything changed. And this is kind of that point for Tyron's career. Not that he didn't keep being a great player, but 2015 was the last time he played a full season.
Right. The injuries began in 2016. He had some nagging injuries throughout the year, but the Cowboys had a big season. This is where Dak Prescott emerged out of nowhere to become the starter. And Ezekiel Elliott, who was picked in the top five, was the leading rusher in the entire league. Of course, the fact that Prescott had so much time to throw and Ezekiel Elliott was the league's leading rusher had quite a bit to do with Tyron Smith. He did miss three games that year, but In the 13, he played, again, arguably, the best tackle in the NFL, first-team All-Pro, second time he had earned that honor in his career, 2014, the other time, named to his fourth consecutive Pro Bowl, also that year 18th on the NFL's top 100 players of 2017, and he was one of three Cowboys offensive linemen that year, Jess, that was a first-team All-Pro. The other two, Travis Frederick and Zach Martin. So the Cowboys were cooking here. They had an elite running back, a quarterback who looked really good and had emerged out of nowhere, ended up being rookie of the year, Dak Prescott, and three offensive linemen that were all pros that year. This was one of Tyron Smith's best seasons. The only downside here is, as you said, Jess, the injuries started to creep in and he did miss a couple of games.
Yeah, and you're right. And that became the story because 2016 through 2019, he missed three games each season. Now, some of those misses were veteran rest, like a regular season finale. So it wasn't all injury, but it was just like every few weeks it was a neck, a shoulder. A lot of that was where he had most of his issues, was upper body stuff. And I can't remember exactly what it was each year, each game, but it would just be these little nagging things. And most of the time he played through them, but you just started to see a lot more of. You'd see he was getting veteran rest. He was missing practices and he'd be a game time decision. And that pattern continued for several years.
2017, it was much of the same. I guess it would be sort of like what they call load management in the NBA with Tyron Smith, where they basically decided that because of all the injuries that were lingering, they would try and rest him a little bit. He missed a few games, again, misses three games, but again, goes to the Pro Bowl along with Zach Martin and Travis Frederick. He did have problems with his knee, his back, his groin, and his hip, but still powered through to play 13 games. This is a very tough physical guy, in case you didn't know that. Placed on injured reserve at the end of the season, so he did miss the season finale against the Eagles, but once again recognized by his peers as the 39th best player in the league. So, as we said, Jess, the injuries are starting to take a toll. He's not missing a ton, but you're starting to see some of these injuries chip away at little bits of his seasons.
Yep. And that was just, you know, it was enough that I can't ever say that Tyron Smith missed a game that cost the Cowboys a season. I think he played in every playoff game during that whole stretch too. And that was part of, like you said, the load management. Cowboys only made the playoffs twice in that 4-year span, from 16 to 19. 2017 was the year where Ezekiel Elliott got suspended, and 2019 was the end of the Jason Garrett era and kind of everything falling apart. But, you know, Tyron he wasn't the issue. There's never been a time in all this time of the Cowboys' disappointments that I would ever say Tyron Smith was part of the problem.
Should also say, by the way, at one point in 2019, when there was talk of Jamal Adams possibly getting traded to the Cowboys, the story was that when the Cowboys called the Jets about Jamal Adams, Joe Douglas said, sure, give me Zach Martin or Tyron Smith. So it could have been possible in an alternate universe that Tyron Smith wound up a Jet in 2019 instead of in 2024, although, of course, the Cowboys told the Jets, are you out of your damn mind? We're not giving you Zach Martin or Tyron Smith, two of the best offensive linemen in the entire league. 2018, though, Jess, is where it really begins to start unraveling. We'd seen the injuries beginning to linger, but it's starting to take a little bit of a toll on the play of Tyron Smith. He's still one of the best in the league, but maybe not quite as dominant. He starts 13 games again, misses three with injury, goes to the Pro Bowl, but this year he drops from 39th to 52nd as far as the votes from the players in the NFL's top 100. In 2019, much of the same. He plays 13 games, misses another three, makes the Pro Bowl again. It's his seventh straight Pro Bowl. He's ranked 78th this year by the players in the top 100. And this year, he also gets an additional honor, being named to the Pro Football Hall of Fame's all 2010s team. So 2018, 2019, still very good, productive seasons for Tyron Smith, but you're starting to see his play slip a little bit, and the injuries are continuing to nag him, and he is continuing to miss a couple of games each year, although nothing drastic to this point.
No, and when he was out there, he was still him. I mean, he still could take on another team's best pass rusher one-on-one, and you really, he could take him right out of the game. I mean, there was, as long as he actually played, he was fine. And that's always been the case with him, even to this day, really. The one thing that, you know, I will mention about Pro Bowl selections when it comes to Cowboys players, there's a little bit of fool's gold in those. I don't know if you all have ever experienced this, but in the AFC, but the Cowboys have a lot of players that make the Pro Bowl on the strength of fan voting that probably don't belong there. So I don't know how many times that's been true, and especially at positions where you don't have really stats to go by. So I can only tell you how many times like Flozell Adams made the Pro Bowl for the Cowboys. And I was like, what is this dude doing in the Pro Bowl? So I'm not saying like Tyron didn't deserve being the Pro Bowl, but you got to take Pro Bowl numbers with Cowboys players with a grain of salt.
Or with anybody. Mitch Trubisky once played in a Pro Bowl. Let's just remember that. But still, yeah. With Tyron Smith, obviously his peers were recognizing him as one of the best in the league on the top 100 list every year. So it wasn't just the result of fan voting. He still was playing really well, maybe slipping a little bit. 2020 is where it really starts to unravel. He had been bothered by a neck issue over the past couple of years, and it really came to a head here. On October 9th, Smith announced that he would forego the rest of the season and have surgery on the neck. He missed the rest of the year on injured reserve, so he only played in 2020 in two games. This was the fewest games that he played in his entire career. At this point, Jess, did a lot of Cowboys fans and media think that this might be the end for Tyron Smith after missing several games every year and then finally this big neck surgery? And he's not a super young man at this point. He's about 30 years old. Did they think that this might be right around the end of the line for Tyron Smith?
Yeah, I mean, you had to. And even though, like you just said, I mean, even though he was only like 29, 30 at this point, there was just that feeling that it was the cumulative effect of all those previous seasons and thinking like, oh man, now it's finally something major. It's just going to go downhill from here. So like, it wasn't that there was never talk at that time that it was going to be a career threatening thing, but it was definitely that concern that, you know, if he's been missing three games a year for the last 4 years, what's it going to become going forward? But, yeah, I mean, he got the surgery. While it made sense to get the surgery when he did, because 2020 was a disaster year for Dallas. That was the major Dak Prescott leg injury year. Things were a mess on defense. So it was a lost season. So he just went ahead and got the surgery. He might have played through it and gotten the surgery in the offseason if not for the fact that Dallas had nothing to play for very quickly that year.
2021, they did have something to play for, but Tyron Smith had issues beyond the neck that year. A lot of problems with his ankles lingered throughout the year. He missed 5 games that season, started in 11 regular season games, and played in the Cowboys wild card loss to the San Francisco 49ers, but he's back in the Pro Bowl and ranked 92nd by his fellow players on the NFL's top 100 players list of 2022. So he missed some games. The ankle was an issue. And his play wasn't quite what it was at his absolute peak. But here he is after having a major neck surgery and still good enough to be ranked in the top 100 among his fellow players and still good enough to make a real impact on that Cowboys offensive line in the 11 games he played.
And that just tells you how special he was, that despite being on the wrong side of 30 at this point, and not just age, but when you know, you got to remember, this guy came into the league when he was 20. So the NFL mileage was piling up on him faster or more so than it does some players who are in their early 30s. And he had been a full-time starter from day one. So between all that, you know, the fact that he came back in 2021, bounced back the way he did, performed the way he did, just tells you how exceptional he is.
2022, which of course was the following year, Smith suffered a torn hamstring in practice during training camp, placed on injured reserve at the end of August, activated in December, moved to right tackle with Tyler Smith emerging at left tackle, made his debut in week 15 against the Jaguars, started in 4 regular season games, and the Cowboys 2 playoff games in 2022. So the bad news here is Smith had another injury. This time it was a hamstring. The good news is he was able to play at the end of the year, and when the Cowboys needed him most in the playoffs, he was there as well and continued to play at a pretty high level once he was off injured reserve.
Yeah, and the fact that he could switch over to right tackle and contribute, you know, going a position he hadn't played in over a decade, I mean, that was pretty awesome too. So it was what it was, you know, but he still came in and provided value, especially toward the end of the year, because that was we had lost Terrence Steele, our actual right tackle starter, for to injury. So Tyron was able to come back, flip to the right side, and help Dallas make the playoffs, beat Tom Brady, send him into retirement. And so, yeah, I mean, it was still, in just a few games, he still showed his value.
And what's interesting about that, Jess, is if he had gotten hurt toward the end of the year, there wouldn't be as big of a gap between the major injuries. But because he was healthy at the end of the year and was healthy for most of 2023, it makes you a little bit more optimistic about his outlook for 2024. So let's talk about 2023. He plays in 13 games. He's a second-team All-Pro. He plays in the playoff game for the Cowboys as well. And I got to tell you, Jess, I thought that the Cowboys might have unlocked the secret to preserving Tyron Smith. Talk a little bit about how they handled him, because he basically was just kept in bubble wrap throughout the week, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was pretty much veteran rest. He would be on the injury report with something like an ankle or a knee or whatever, but we all knew that it was basically just they were keeping him in a glass case until kickoff. And that's fine, and it worked. I mean, he would still come out, he would play, and he was back to being a second team All-Pro. I mean, this wasn't just another Pro Bowl year. I mean, this was truly being back to being one of the elite left tackles in football. And so what they were doing clearly worked. And it was interesting too, because, you know, he last offseason switched up his contract to a much more, and this is important for you guys, he started this thing about having a heavy incentive laden contract based on playing time and other things. So even though he had converted to this incentive-based deal, you know, he was willing to accept some of this load management type stuff. So he was willing to bet on himself, and he did. And he won. he did really well. And so that's just interesting that the deal that he has now signed with New York is very much structured the same way.
And he's doing it again now in New York, like you said, betting on himself. But what's kind of interesting to me is that Tyron Smith spoke to the media and said that essentially the only two teams that were interested were the Jets and the Cowboys. And it didn't seem like the Cowboys were all that interested. They were sort of dragging their feet, so he went with the Jets' offer. Were you surprised that more teams weren't interested based on how well he performed in 2023, even with the load management? Because you get a tackle like Tyron Smith who can play as well as he did for those 13 games. Even if he has to miss a few, that's a very valuable commodity to have. And the Cowboys, having figured out how to preserve him and seeing what he did last year, were you surprised that they didn't do more to try and keep him in Dallas?
I was surprised more other teams were not interested. If the Jets really were the only outside team that reached out, for all the reasons you just said. You know, if the number was set though around 20 million, I could see teams shying away from that. You know, that's the max amount he's going to earn with these incentives possibly. Mm-hmm. And I could see that scaring off teams just given where he's at this point with his age and so forth. But I am surprised that New York was the only one who reached out. As far as the Cowboys go, this goes to a much larger thing that's happening in Dallas this year. And, you know, and I don't want to bore Jets fans with it too much, but it feels much more, there's a rising thought in Dallas that the Cowboys are getting ready to hit the reset button in a big way. And it just, the fact that we've been so inactive this offseason across the board, not just with bringing Tyron back, but so many other things, I think he's more of a casualty of a larger thing that's happening than the Cowboys not being interested in bringing him back. I just think that for what they're trying to do, they didn't feel the need to bring him back at that price. And they've got Tyler Smith, who could play left tackle if needed. So I think they just decided to go the cheap route.
Jess, talk a little bit about what the Jets are getting with Tyron Smith beyond just the player on the field. He's got a reputation as a teacher. He's got a reputation as somebody who will help the other players on the offensive line, as a leader, somebody who's beloved by the coaches, liked in the community. I don't think I've ever heard a bad word said about Tyron Smith as a person. Talk a little bit about that and what the Jets are getting here beyond just the player.
You know the way that WWE wrestlers talk about the Undertaker?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, that's Tyron Smith. That, Tyron Smith is the Undertaker of the Cowboys locker room. It's like, he, for one, he's been there the longest. Once Jason Witten was out, he was the elder statesman. And he's always been elite. He's always had credibility. And he's also just physically like a dude you do not want to mess with. Like, I think he's generally a gentle giant, but if anyone got full of themselves, I mean, I think Tyron could manhandle them very quickly. So he's just been that kind of guy, and he has been very active in community stuff. If Dak Prescott wasn't always sort of the Walter Payton Man of the Year candidate on our team, rightfully so, I think Tyron would be right there, potentially, along with DeMarcus Lawrence and a couple others. But he has just always, he's never had a scandal. He's never had an issue. There was one weird thing with apparently his family and money issues like about 10 years ago. That kind of came and went. Nothing really came out of that. But I mean, it's just been great. It's going to really be hard. I mean, it's sad to see another elite talent come and go in Dallas without a Super Bowl ring to show for it. And I know you all understand that pain pretty well, too. But it's just, I hope that New York gives him a better opportunity. One other thing that's just interesting in this is, I think that Aaron Rodgers may be one of the keys to why Tyron Smith came to the Jets. He's talked about having a lot of respect for Rodgers, and he should, because Rodgers has knocked Dallas out of the playoffs at least twice. So I think that it wasn't just about the money or New York or anything like that. I think it had a lot to do with coming and playing with quarterback, maybe that he has more confidence in, than Dak Prescott. And I couldn't blame him at this point. Hopefully he's still got some, you know, the wheels will stay on at least for a couple more years.
What we know about Tyron Smith is that when he's healthy, he's as good as it gets. And when it comes to being a leader and everything off the field and working with the coaches and working with the youngsters and working with the other guys on the offensive line and everybody on the offense and being a teammate, he's also as good as it gets. The question is going to be whether or not the Jets can keep him healthy. And as Jess told us before, the Cowboys may have provided a blueprint for how the Jets can find a way to keep Tyron Smith on the field for most of the games in 2024. If they're able to do that, it could be a really fun season for the Jets and a much easier season for Aaron Rodgers behind the Jets offensive line than he would have faced if he had stayed healthy last year. Certainly easier than what Zach Wilson, Trevor Siemian, and Tim Boyle had to deal with after Aaron Rodgers went down last year. Jess Haney, bloggingtheboys.com, thank you so much for coming back on the show to talk about the Jets' acquisition of Tyron Smith and go through everything that happened during his Cowboys tenure, what the Jets are getting with him beyond just what we've seen on the film. Really appreciate it. Make sure you check out everything that Jess is doing over at bloggingtheboys.com and follow him on Twitter at Cowboys Addicts. Check out everything we're doing at playlikeajet.com. We've got our videos coming back too on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/playlikeajet, including a film review of Tyron Smith. That'll be coming soon. In the meantime, though, make sure you give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes as well. If you haven't done that already, easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and playlikeajet.com.